In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In today's Gospel, Christ has returned to Jerusalem for one of the feasts. Now, under Jewish law, all males within 50 miles of Jerusalem were required to journey to Jerusalem to celebrate the three principal feasts, which were Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. So more than likely, Christ is here at this point in the Gospel to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. John describes for us a pool in Jerusalem called Bethesda. Now the pool had five porticos, and by this pool there were many invalids, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And according to Jewish beliefs, at the time the pool was disturbed, they believed that it was an angel of God that disturbed the waters. The first person to enter into the water would receive healing. Now, in particular, that day there was a man who Scripture says had been an invalid for 38 years. But he had never been able to reach the waters when they were disturbed. Christ approached him and asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" And today, as we read this gospel, how do we respond to Christ's question, "Do you want to be healed?" Are we not a bit shocked by our Lord's question? What kind of question is this? Are we not tempted to say, "Lord, of course he wants to be healed"? But is that the truth? You see, there was once a man who had suffered from a stroke, and it left him completely paralyzed from the neck down. He could turn his head to the left, he could turn his head to the right, but he could not move. He could not so much as move a small toe. He could not speak. We can imagine that after 1 year, he still had hope. Hope that the doctors would reverse the condition that he suffered. And that hope, we could imagine, continued into the second year, and maybe the third or the fourth. But by the 12th year, I think we can imagine that his hope had waned. And indeed, it was in his 12th year that he passed from this life. But now imagine living in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago without medical science the way we have today, and being an invalid for 38 years. How much hope do we believe this man had that Jesus encountered that day? And moreover, what would healing mean for him? He had been an invalid for 38 years. His family and his neighbors would have picked him up on his mat, on his pallet, and carried him to the pool every day. And there the passersby would give him food and coins. If he received healing, things would change. He would have to work for his food. He would have to get up and earn his keep. So did he want healing? Did he truly, honestly desire healing? And so our Lord asks, rightfully, "Do you want to be healed?" Brothers and sisters, isn't that what Christ asks each of us today? Doesn't he ask us if we want to be healed, if we want to be free? And isn't it true, brothers and sisters, that we too sometimes prefer to stay in the comfort of our own infirmities, of our own weaknesses, rather than overcome them? In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis describes a scene where a ghost of a man arrives at the gates of heaven. Lewis writes, "I saw coming towards us a ghost who carried something on his shoulder. What sat on his shoulder was a little red lizard, and it was twitching its tail like a whip and whispering things in his ear. And we caught sight of him as he turned his head to the reptile with a snarl of impatience. 'Shut up, I tell you,' he said. It wagged its tail and continued to whisper to him. 'Off so soon?' said a voice. The speaker was human in shape, but larger than a man, so bright that I could hardly look at him. 'Yes, I'm off,' said the ghost. 'Thanks for your hospitality, but it's no good. I told this little chap that he'd have to be quiet if he came, which he insisted on doing. Of course, his stuff won't do here, I realize, but he won't stop. I shall just have to go home.' 'Would you like for me to make him quiet?' said the angel. 'Of course I would,' said the ghost. 'Then I will kill him,' said the angel, taking a step forward. 'Oh, look out there, you're burning me. Keep away,' said the ghost. 'Don't you want him killed?' 'You didn't say anything about killing him at first.' 'It's the only way,' said the angel. 'Shall I kill him?' 'Well, that's a further question. I'm quite open to consider it, but for the moment, I was only thinking about silencing it.' 'May I kill it?' 'Well, there's time to discuss that later.' 'There is no time.' 'May I kill it?' 'Please, really, don't bother. Look, it's gone to sleep of its own accord. I'm sure it will be all right now. Thanks ever so much. May I kill it?' 'Honestly, I don't think there's the slightest necessity for that. I'm sure I shall be able to keep it in order now. Some other day, perhaps.' 'There is no other day. All days are present now.' 'Get back. You're burning me. How can I tell you to kill it? You'd kill me if you did. It's not so. Why, you're hurting me now.' 'I never said it wouldn't hurt. I said it wouldn't kill you.' 'Why, you are torturing me. If you wanted to help me, why didn't you kill the thing without asking me, before I knew? It would be all over by now if you had.' 'I cannot kill it against your will. It is impossible. Have I your permission?' 'Go on, can't you? Get it over. Do what you like. God help me.' The next moment, the ghost gave a scream of agony. The burning one closed his crimson grip on the reptile, twisted it while it bit and writhed, and then flung it on the turf." As this scene concludes, Lewis writes that the ghost becomes once again a man, and the lizard is transformed into a great stallion and carries the man into paradise. Brothers and sisters, if we reflect on our own lives, do we not find that there are areas that we have not surrendered to the great physician so that he may extract them from us? Do we not all have our little red lizard? Perhaps it's gluttony or some other particular vice or some luxury we think we cannot live without, or some pleasurable thing. We can be assured that it is not as visible as a red lizard carried upon our shoulders. But the fact is, it is more likely that only God knows about it, because it has been so carefully guarded in secret for so long. Do we not cling to those small comforts that we think we need to fully bear the burdens in this life? Yet Christ stands before us and says, "Do you want to be healed. What a proposition. Sometimes to be healed, we must give up the very things that we're most attached to. What is our response? Do we surrender? Or do we hold tightly to those things that weigh us down? Today's gospel also reminds us of our baptism. The pool is a sort of symbol of our baptism. The five porticos are a reminder of the five books of the law. And we recall that in baptism, we died to our sins and were raised to new life in Christ. We recall that Christ said to us, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." And today, he stands before us and asks, "Child, do you want to be healed?" Brothers and sisters, in great humility, may we always respond, "Yes, Lord, cut away all that holds me from you." There's one last lesson that we learn from the gospel today. When the invalid responds that there is no one to put him in the water, our Lord says, "Rise." And at that very moment, his healing is complete. But now the burden is on the invalid to act upon his healing. He has not risen on his own accord from his bed for 38 years. Why would he even attempt it now? But it is his faith that propels him to push himself up to a standing position, to pick up his mat and to walk. Christ says to us, "Do you want to be healed?" Our response must be, "Yes, Lord." But then we must walk in faith in the newness of life he offers to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.